Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan with Dylan Scott, Dasha, DJ Silver, and DJ Rock are bringing the Double Down Tour to Nationals Park on August 20th. A Live Nation show. Tickets go on sale May 8th. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of Live Nation.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan. And always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
7, and Rutschman delivers into left field, a base hit. Ward hits the bag at third. Stowers up with the throw. The play at the plate, not in time! And the Orioles are back on top.
The call from Ben Wagner on Madison Adley Rutschman comes off the bench and gives the Birds the lead thanks to an RBI single in the ninth inning, making it 8-7. Leody Taveras would drive in another, and Rico Garcia would slam the door in the ninth as the Birds end their five-game losing streak with a 9-7 victory over Miami. Sam Basayo would have a huge evening, going 3-for-4 with 4 RBI, ending a home run short of the cycle, and Pete Alonso would score 4 times to go along with a pair of doubles and 2 RBI. The aforementioned Garcia, your winning pitcher of record, he's now 3-0 on the season. This evening, the Birds and Fish battle again in Game 2 of their three-game series, and the Fan will get you prepped with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30, first pitch slated for 6:40. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center. Rain builds throughout the morning, with a chance for storms in the evening, highs in the 60s. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. If you love playing Ms. Pac-Man, you'll really love playing the new Ms. Pac-Man Scratch-Off from the Maryland Lottery. Please play responsibly. Ms. Pac-Man is registered and copyrighted by BNEI. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Town Appliance. Your next home upgrade starts at Town Appliance.
Tight 7-7, and Rutschman delivers. And to left field, a base hit. Ward hits the bag at third. Stowers up with the throw. The play at the plate. Not in time! Adley Rutschman off the bench delivers. And the Orioles are back on top. The 1-2. Swing and a miss to finish the ball game.
Welcome on in. Vinny and Haney here on a not so beautiful Wednesday, but we'll make it beautiful for you because the Orioles finally snapped their losing streak last night. 9-7, your final there. You heard Ben Wagner on the call on Masson. A lot of drama, but that's been the Orioles' MO this season, but they find a way in the end. Back and forth action here. Pitching staff, they tried to give it away. Defense, always an issue. Good for a daily error at this point. But Vinny, in the end, 9-7 is your final. The Orioles get off the schneid just a little bit. And Adley Rutschman, your hero there in the ninth, coming off the bench. Interesting decision, which we're going to lead off today's show with. Craig Albernaz pulling Samuel Basayo, who was absolutely on fire in this game. 3-for-4 at that point in the game. Was a home run shy of the cycle. Albie decides to go with Rutschman, who, in his own right, has been swinging a hot bat over the past couple weeks. And he comes through with the big go-ahead RBI single. Garcia slams the door shut in the ninth. And here we are. Losing streak is no more. See if we can take a series tonight.
Yeah. You're happy for Rutschman. It worked out. And we were just talking with Rob, you know, prior to the show. The only thing that I didn't like about, you know, what would happen if Rutschman pops up, you know, and Basayo would, you know, I mean, single, double, triple. And then you got a 21-year-old kid over there who's, you've been your best hitter, him and Alonso, for that game. Your hottest hitter that game. And what message did he send? Hey, I'm pinch hitting for you. Me? You're looking at me? Right. I got three hits? You're looking like, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, that was the... And then, you know, Rutschman bailed him out, but then you got to go talk to Basayo, you know, and have a pretty damn good explanation. Mm-hmm. Why you did it. Because if he'd have popped up, like, I'm selling. The hell?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I know I mentioned the, you know, home run shy of the cycle. And earlier in the game, it looked like, okay, the entertainment factor here in the later innings is going to be watching Basayo's every at-bat.
Right.
See if we can chase this and we'll win big. Well, it ended up being more dicey and more close than we would have thought. So I can understand that not being a part of the equation there. Like, you're not going for sentiment at that point. But this is a scenario where he's playing the matchups. Get the righty in there over the lefty. Well, the switch hitter, I should say, in Adley. And Brandon Hyde had plenty of these moments, a ton of these moments over his tenure as Orioles manager, where he would constantly, with pinch hitting decisions, bullpen decisions, whether a guy had reverse splits or not, he was going with righty-lefty, no matter what.
Yeah.
That was his MO. And it came back to bite him quite a few times. And there were, I believe early last year, multiple instances of him pulling, I think it was Jackson Holliday. Like, Jackson Holliday was swinging a hot bat. Young guy starting to find himself, and he'd get pulled for a bench guy. You know, and we were on the show saying, well, how does that instill confidence? What you just said about Basayo. I'll be honest, I don't know if Brandon Hyde makes that decision last night with the way Basayo was swinging. So that should show you just kind of how ballsy, how gutsy it was from Albernaz. And I'm with you 100%. You know, we're one swing away or a couple inches away from having our phone lines all jammed up already this morning.
No doubt.
Of people complaining about the decision. So in the end, no harm, no foul. This game will be forgotten when we get to the end of 162. It'll just be one other W in the standings. But for now, and what it means in the immediate, it's huge, right? Your offense was garbage against the Yankees. 10 total runs across 4 games. You get 9 last night. Some of your big expected bats are actually contributing. You know, we talked a ton about Basayo. You mentioned Alonso. He got it started last night. Henderson had a hit. I mean, you had 10 total hits here. It felt like everyone was at least contributing to some extent. There's guys at the bottom that are still struggling. That's going to probably continue. But those big bats at the top, the Gunners, the Alonzos, the Basayos for sure, Adley when he plays, they have to be the ones carrying the most weight. We got to get past the days of Jeremiah Jackson being the best hitter on this team. And, oh, even when Jeremiah Jackson was the best hitter in April, he was still batting in the bottom portion of the lineup. So get more contributions. Maybe this is a sign of things to turn here.
Yeah, that's what's going to be. I mean, it looks like Alonso's kind of coming out of it. You know, I mean, he looks good. And Ward's been the most consistent on-base guy that they've had. You know, I mean, he was on base. You know, he's been walking a lot. I mean, actually, being a leadoff guy, he's the best leadoff guy because, you know, he makes the pitcher work. Like the other day, he had 9 pitches his first at bat, you know. So, I mean, and then the other batters get a chance to see, you know, what he's got. So, you know, and Gunner just strikes out so much. You know, that's the only thing that I see right now. And Gunner's just like pressing so hard, I think, to, you know, hit home runs, make plays, you know, that I think it's starting. You know, he's batting .208 right now with a million strikeouts.
Yeah, a little bit later this hour, we'll dive in deep on the whole lineup discussion because even after last night, I don't know if there's, like, is there a perfect lineup, I guess is the question, the way to frame it. And
well, the problem is, the problem, you got the biggest problem that I see, Nolan, is that there isn't a perfect lineup because defensive, either they're a hitter or nobody is the combo guy, really. You know, like your third baseman, you know, right now, Mayo can't field and can't hit very well. Your outfield, Tavares can field, you know, and he got a hit last night, which was big, but your left and right fielders, they're horrible. And then anybody you put in center field other than Tavares struggles. So, I mean, to me, how do you put that together? You know, and how, you know, and you talk about being consistent and winning games. How can you be consistent and go on a winning streak when you can't field? Your defense is horrible. And you make so many, like Mayo last night. I mean, Basayo gets the error. Wasn't his error, it was Mayo's error because his ass is standing at third base, doesn't see the guy stealing third, and Basayo's double pumping. He should have hung on to the ball.
At that point,
you know, yeah, at that point. But come on, Mayo, get your ass in the game. You know, you got to, you know, don't you see that out of the corner? You know, you got a guy on second, he just stole second. you know, and he's a base dealer.
Right.
You know, you kind of have a feel that he might be going, and you know, like it was late to the party.
Right. Well, it goes back to the point yesterday I made that just where's the mindfulness? Where's the communication?
Like Joe Gibbs said, Nolan, can't win with dumb guys.
Well, even it's just that's where I question effort.
Like, I don't know about effort. I just instincts.
Well, you call it out. Like, if you're all right, Mayo didn't see it. Someone else on the
diamond. Right. Well, Gunner's got to be saying he's going.
Right. Right. Someone in the dugout. I don't know anything. There's not a lot of people.
How about the guy standing right next to him?
Yeah. There's not a lot of people in the crowd last night. You can hear everything. Yeah, I'm sure.
That was what, 3,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
We heard the four guys that were up in the stands. Who was the was it the closer who was pitching and they were yelling for him?
I must have missed that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, real quick, back to you know, you mentioned outfield shakiness there, and Tyler O'Neill, you know,
forget
front,
him.
Front of the line. But we get back to that pinch hitting decision last night. Of course, all the attention goes to the Adley over Basayo spot, and Adley delivering, obviously, and that's the big moment of the game. But two at bats prior, he decides to pinch hit O'Neill for Beavers. So again, righty over a lefty matchup with the pitcher. That one failed as O'Neill just flies out to center. So again, that adds even more at that point. I already pulled my lefty-righty matchup card as we try to get the go-ahead run here. It didn't work with O'Neill. Do I do it again? Rutschman's better than O'Neill right now. But even, I mean, that is such a ballsy call by the manager there. Unless he is going to truly be blind with the matchups. Because if that's the case, then I'm not giving him credit at all. Like, he's just going off of a flat, consistent, you know, strategy that doesn't really change game to game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And that one worked. But I just, with one of your hottest hitters and one of your young stars, I don't know if I could have done that to him.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if he can stay hot tonight. Orioles have a chance to take the series tonight, which would be huge after how ugly things got in New York. Marlins, make no mistake, they're not a great team. You know, same record as the Orioles. They're 16-20, but these are the teams you got to beat over 162. You got to pad your stats. You got to pad that win total any way you can by beating up on the inferior teams. The Phillies have turned things around as of late.
Yeah.
They're not playing world beaters, but they'll take it because they needed it.
Got a new manager.
Exactly. Hey, Mattingly.
Hey, now what happened with, you know, like Bob yesterday, like Alcantara's an awesome pitcher, awesome pitch.
Oh, yeah. Well, he is, yeah.
He was awful yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you what. So you had Schlittler on Monday.
Right.
Right. Hard-throwing righty, pushing 100 miles per hour. Alcantara. It's a different pronunciation every time we say it with his name. Also hard-throwing righty. He's pushing 100, upper 90s. And Ben McDonald said on the broadcast, so maybe, you know, 2 days in a row, you're seeing kind of similar stuff. Now you're catching up to it. Yuri Perez, lesser-known guy going from Miami tonight, right-hander, fastball, pushing 100 miles per hour. And he's been pretty decent this year, but he's not superstar level like those previous two guys. So again, maybe we're just seeing the ball better right now. We're hitting well off velocity. And honestly, the last couple of years with the Orioles, they would hit those hard-throwing guys pretty well, but then you'd get a soft tosser in there, and they'd be all discombobulated. You know, they're so geared up for 100 miles per hour. Some guy comes in throwing 92 on the fastball, and they look like they've never seen a pitch before. 410-583-1057. If you want to get in on this conversation, we'd love to have you. We're going to keep the Orioles talk going when we come back. By diving more into this lineup, we'll examine what the decision was for last night and see if there's any other tweaks that maybe need to be made. The big question that I presented to Vinny and to the audience, of course, is there a perfect lineup here? And you can even separate it offensively and defensively. Just give me offense, because defense is a lost cause. We know that at this point. Just focusing purely on offense. Is there a perfect lineup for this Orioles team? We want to hear from you. 410-583-1057.
This is VJ Surhoff. You're listening to the best Orioles coverage on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, Make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. Men's National Team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stand a little taller.
The Orioles anthem for that.
Talking about the Orioles team, that's doesn't kill us. That's one way to look at it. Defense did not kill them last night. 9-7 winners over the Miami Marlins. We're talking to you here in this segment, but we posed the question before the break, is there a perfect lineup for this Orioles team right now? And you look at what they rolled out there last night. Henderson at short to lead off, Ward in left, Beavers your DH third. And that's what sparked this question for me, is Beavers batting third. Social media, if you ask them, is there a perfect lineup? The answer is no. There is never a good enough lineup in the eyes of social media. But seeing Dylan Beavers bumped up to batting third last night was certainly a bit of a head scratcher. I will give him credit. Worked a hell of an at-bat early against Alcantara to get that pitch count up, and then they jumped all over him in that first inning. But just on the surface, to have him in that spot, I think it's a bit much. And overall, when I look at this lineup, I mean, honestly, not a lot of guys were clicking at the same time. We're hoping that last night was maybe a sign of things turning, but I've said that about a dozen times already this year. I'm not going to put a ton of stock into it. But Vinny, when you look at this, at least last night, like what would you tweak? Even knowing what was the outcome, 9 runs on the board.
Well, number one, I'd let Albie make out the lineup is what I would do. You know, manager
That's a
knows.
Start.
Yeah. You know, to have all the analytic guys and, you know, they make out the lineup. What do you think Earl Weaver would tell those analytic guys?
He's rolling over in his grave right now. I mean, well, and that's the other thing. Like, the manager doesn't make it, it's Elias. But is it? It's not really Elias alone. It's this, like you said, it's this group of all these people that just look at
analytical people.
Right. Yeah. Spreadsheets
Computer
and numbers
dudes,
and stuff like that. And at that point, I'd rather it just be Elias making the decision by himself. It's probably coming from a same viewpoint of analytics, but it's only one cook in the kitchen.
All right.
I mean, it's the same argument. We got 3 different hitting coaches. We got multiple, you know, at a certain point, let's thin it out here and have one consistent voice.
Yeah. So, yeah, Nolan, I'm right there with you, you know, with Henderson, Ward. I got no problem with that. Beavers, you know, who's batting 211. You know, when you got Alonzo, I like Alonzo Basayo. You know, Taveras, Cowser, Mayo, Jackson, Alexander.
Bottom. Yeah, we're not gonna argue with that.
And I got no problem. To me, that was their best defensive outfield. Those three guys, you know, with Cowser, Cowser in right, Taveras in center, and not saying Ward's a good defensive player, you know, but. You know, that is their best. And like I asked you off air, I said, okay, you want to bring in a defensive specialist and you got Cowser and you got Taveras in right and center. Who are you bringing in for defense for left field?
Things are getting dicey there if that's going to extras.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. They got nobody, you know, and Cowser, you know, is batting 179. He had 3 more strikeouts last night. So, all right, if you don't want to play him, you're putting muscles out there. And now, all of a sudden, if I'm pitching, I'm saying, damn, just hit it to center field, you know?
Let's hear from the people here. We got John in Ellicott City. Good morning, John.
Whoa. Hey, I wanted to speak to how lost Gunnar Henderson is as a hitter. Last night, I don't know what inning it was, but he had no balls, no strike count. He challenged a close pitch and lost the challenge. If you're that good of a hitter, you're challenging an 0-0 count early in the game and you're not even correct, you are just lost. Take your strike, get back in the box, and try to work the count. But instead, he challenges it and loses. It's just an awful look for him.
Yeah, good point, John. And the challenge stuff, right, that's a whole different wrinkle this year. Like the first couple weeks of the season, the Orioles were one of the best teams in success rate with their ABS challenges. Mm-hmm. But now between that moment you mentioned with Gunner, which I think in the grand scheme of things, it's relatively minor, but your point stands. That early in the game, 0-0 count, I'm probably keeping that in my back pocket at that point, right? It's too borderline.
Well, I heard Albie after one of the games saying our catchers need to be more aggressive with that.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and you know what? The thing I noticed watching the Yankee game, they don't ever. You know, and there's like pitches you're like, why didn't he challenge it? That was...
That's been a thing with Judge this year. Some of the Yankee fans are like, why are you not putting up a fight? If there's anybody on that team that has a green light, if you want to do it 0-0 first at bat of the game, Aaron Judge, by all means, go ahead and do it. But speaking of him, it was the night before, Monday night in the Bronx, where he hits the home run and an at-bat that shouldn't have lasted that long.
Rutschman should, yeah. You know, and then that was the night that Albie says, I want my catchers to be more aggressive.
Right. But it is puzzling. Like, again, goes back to the mental side of things. Where's the communication? Is there a consistent message coming from Albernaz and his coaching staff on when and when not to challenge? Because if you're just going to leave it up to the guys, you're going to get stuff like that. But the caller's right. Henderson, of all people, should not be that guy. Like, if Coby Mayo does that, it's still stupid.
Well, he did that early on.
Right. Yeah. But it's, you know, young guy, rookie mistake. I don't know. Let's get one more call here. Samaj, Gwen Oak. Good to hear from you, Samaj.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Wonderful.
Hey, Coach, glad you up in the building. No, Mac, you on the mic. That's what's up.
Yes, sir.
Yep. All right, so listen, guys. My answer is really not an answer. I got more so of a question going all the way back to pretty much the new regime, both skippers. Guys, tell me, what other MLB organizations, because I'm trying to figure out, before I get critical about it, it might be more normal than I expect or think. How many other MLB organizations is the GM or anybody in the front office doing lineups?
Oh, I think that's the norm.
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty widespread, because I know the Yankees are big analytic team, too. I don't know if they're making out the lineup like Elias and his guys do, you know.
Okay.
But, I mean, you look at their lineup, it was pretty much – well, they have six guys that have played almost every game. So if that's the case, then, you know, you're just messing with a couple guys throughout. You know, and if Stanton was healthy, I'm sure that probably makes a lineup even easier to make.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, I guess I'm just too old school or Mr. Trend – because it just seemed quite unique and something I was never really accustomed to hearing. Once Elias got here, you know, with Hyde, with him doing the lineup, I always thought skippers do their own lineups, you know. So, and I've been really kind of ill at ease about that for the longest time, because it just doesn't seem like Elias is down to let his skipper skip. And to me, you know, not knowing that this has been a trend, I've always felt like the teams that consistently compete, you know, Yankees, Rockies, Dodgers, whatever. You guys always seem to be, you know, all inclusive in their managing. You know, they're the managers because they manage. Line up, you know, defense, everything, pitching, all of that, except for the assistant coaches. So if this is more the norm than what I knew, then I guess I really don't have a point. And there is no best lineup. I just wish we'd get our stuff together. I wanted to say something else just now. But I just wish we get our stuff together, man, because the Yankees are not as strong as they have been, and I think the AL is there for the taking, and it's just a shame that it looks like, once again, as I'm feeling like I felt at the end of September last year, we ain't going to be in the mix, and it's just disappointing. I had such high hopes for this year, and that's about it, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Peace and blessings to you both.
Yeah, same to you, man.
Well, the thing with the Yankees is they're the leading, aren't they number one in homers and number one in starting pitching?
Oh, Yankees are unstoppable right now. Yeah, no, they're as advertised and then some. But the American League as a whole
is average.
Well, maybe even below average, and maybe even stinking it up. I mean, Rob was, you know, in here before the show, we were talking. He's like, you just can't believe it. I know it's still relatively early in the year, but we're through a full month. You know, to only have a handful of teams just above 500 in general is pretty unusual.
You know what would be an interesting stat to look at is how many teams made the playoffs last year or in years past that are bottom five in defense. I mean, because if you look at football and stuff, Nolan, I mean, you know.
Well, I think the equivalent, and you could maybe disagree with this, the equivalent of this for football would be penalties. Undisciplined. I mean, defense is like a big part of football, where in baseball it's kind of...
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Maybe I'm...
2 years ago, the Ravens led in penalties.
Yes.
This past year, they were much better, so... Good try.
Maybe there isn't an appropriate comp, just like there isn't a perfect lineup. We'll take more of your calls when we get back from this break. 410-583-1057. Orioles talk heavy here out the gate, but at 11 o'clock, A.J. Gersh from Fox 45, he'll join the fun, talk some Ravens with us then.
If you missed today's Big Bad Morning Show, have segments, hours, or full show delivered daily to your phone. Subscribe to the podcast and listen anytime on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. The Big Bad Morning Show, live on the Fan's YouTube channel, tomorrow 6 till 10, 105.7 The Fan.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles grinded out a 9-7 win over the Marlins last night with Adley Rutschman and Leody Taveras each driving in a run in the ninth inning to help the Birds end their five-game losing streak. It was a back-and-forth affair most of the evening, with Miami erasing deficits of 3-0 and 7-4. Thankfully, Adley was able to come off the bench and play hero, guiding the Birds to a win they absolutely needed to have. And while there were some tense moments, skipper Craig Albernaz was happy with the way his guys carried themselves, considering the struggles of the last week.
It was great energy from the guys all game. They played loose. They played also, you can tell, like they were locked in on every pitch. So it was exactly what we wanted from them and what we want from them moving forward.
Sam Bassaio would go 3-for-4 with 4 RBI in last night's win, ending a home run short of the cycle. And Pete Alonso stepped up as well with a pair of doubles, 2 RBI, and 4 runs scored. This evening, it's game 2 of 3 between the Birds and Fish, and the Fan will get you prepped with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30, first pitch slated for 6:40. Brandon Young gets the start for the O's. Miami counters with Yuri Perez. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center. Rain builds throughout the morning, with a chance for storms in the evening, highs in the 60s. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Jerry's Home Services. Jerry's Home Services is the choice of Maryland homeowners with an impeccable industry reputation. Just ask Jerry's for a fast, free estimate by calling 410-766-6800 or visit jerrysiding.com. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw in for Bob Haney today. Interesting lineup this week. I'm out the rest of the week. I'm back Tuesday. Bob's back. We're all over the place, but 10 to 2. That's the only consistent part.
Yep.
And Vinny, you're here. You're the consistent.
I'm here. I've been consistent.
You're the rock.
Yeah. Well, since I was with Putin for a month in January, so other than that, I've been here, yeah.
You're meditating with the Buddhist monks. You learned a lot.
Yes, I did. I was with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh. Ayahuasca?
Meditating.
We've been talking with you about this Orioles win last night, the drama-filled win, and the makeup of the lineup in general. We can also talk about Chris Bassitt, because, my God, I mean, for a veteran pitcher, can we figure this out? You know, and last time out, I thought, all right, the Houston start, the game one of that doubleheader, here we go, this is it. There, and he was saying all the stuff about we had the come-to-Jesus meeting and everyone's on the same page. And then you go back out there last night, offense gives you a 3-run lead to start, and you immediately squander it.
Yeah.
You know, then you only last 4 innings. You still walk off the mound with a lead because the offense is still clicking. And bullpen, we'll get to the bullpen later. They're a mess right now.
Nolan? The thing that is kind of worrisome about the Orioles starting pitcher and even Bassitt, but I mean the walks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all got so many walks.
Right. Yeah, it was an issue for Shane Baz on Monday night. Three more walks for Bassett last night. They had five in total from the pitching staff. And I believe all five of those guys came around to score. So that's pretty significant.
Well, you know, don't forget, Bassett had three walks and hit two batters.
Oh, okay.
So he had five.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I mean, where's the control?
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Get back to the phones here. Warren is in Owings Mills. Good morning, Warren.
Morning, Nolan and Vinny. Real quick on two of the points. And first, the thing that you talked about first, the pinch hit decision for Basayo. If that had not worked out, you all could have canceled your guests for today because every Oriole fan.
Yes, that's what Nolan said.
Would have been lined up.
Yep.
You could have gone 10 to 2 on that. Hopefully, Albanez sat down with him after the game and explained his reasoning if there was any. Now, he was lucky as hell that worked out. Now, I'll leave that at that. The perfect lineup, and Vinny hit it earlier, there is no perfect lineup. You've got to have Tavares in center field. I don't care if he's hitting a .150 because at least he gives us some defense up the middle. After that, you got to keep Ward leading off because he's so far, we're about a quarter into the season now. He's been elite at getting on base. Adley needs to bat second when he's in the lineup because his batting eye is like he was his first couple of years where he wasn't chasing. You had to throw him strikes. Then you put either Basayo and Alonso or Alonso and Basayo. You drop Gunner down to about fifth or sixth. After that, it doesn't matter. But basically what you got to do is you put Tavares in center field and whoever the hot bats are because there is no perfect lineup defensively because we have multiple weaknesses. So that's my take on that. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, have a good one, Warren. It's good points. Yeah, I think defense, lost cause, is where we're at mm-hmm. this point. I mean,
it is what it is.
Right. But I think, you know, I know you've been harping on it with the way the roster was constructed from Elias's standpoint, right? How could defense be this neglected?
Right.
And I'm with you, right? Because you're watching these results and it is so bad that it can cost you a season. But I think Elias would probably admit, yeah, I was willing to take the hit defensively. I don't think he saw them being this bad, though. Like he said, I'm willing to put up with them being mediocre, maybe below average, and we can make up for it if we're going to hit a ton of home runs, which that was supposed to happen on paper. It's not really happening. So it's been a common theme for the Orioles. A lot of this was supposed to happen, but it's not.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Elias was probably looking, I think you said it earlier, Westberg is going to be my third baseman. Holiday's my second. Mm-hmm. And Alonso defensively is my weak link.
Yeah.
You know, going into it.
Mm-hmm.
Which in reality now Alonso's his best defensive player. You know, so he didn't over the winter, he didn't count on Westberg being hurt and he didn't count on Holiday being out this long. But the outfield,
right. That's where and the most egregious decision was just being so quick to put Couser in center.
Yeah.
It's twofold. It's offensive, too, because he was stinking it up last year to the point where this year's, like, huge for him and where his career trajectory is going to go, that if he doesn't turn it around this year and it's starting to look like that's not going to be the case, we're going to have a really tough decision to make on his future with this team because it's getting to be way more bad than it has been good in his career. And defensively, too, I mean, we called it out in real time. He said, all right, you're not going to get a real center fielder. The free agency market wasn't very fruitful there, but maybe a trade, something. I mean, you can't just be so quick to say, all right, you know, Colton Couser was a Gold Glove finalist in left field. He'll make the transition to center. They gave him some run there in the second half last year. Maybe that made him feel comfortable. But even watching him last year, there were growing pains.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't like he went out there and was a superstar. So it was a risk to begin with, and it's completely blown up in their face.
Well, the thing about it, Nolan, is that he was a Gold Glove left fielder, right?
Finalist.
Yeah, yeah.
Consideration.
So, yeah. So, I mean, and that is not an easy left field to play here in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So, why take a guy out of a position that you're really good at, you know, and then put him in center field where, you know, he's average at best out there. Mm-hmm. You know, because he doesn't have the range and natural. You know, like Tavares, when you're watching Tavares, looks easy. Mm-hmm. Looks easy for him. And that's how it was with Mullins. I mean, you know, he just, you know, like going back for a ball and everything was easy. It made it, you know, like the tough catches, he made them look easy. Whereas Ward and Muscles, and they make the easy catch look difficult.
O'Neal can make a throw look.
Oh my God.
More.
He was a Gold Glove winner.
I need to go back and watch the highlights. We keep saying it, but it really is like, oh my God. Because it's not, again, it's not even like, he's mediocre. He's kind of bad. He stinks.
Yeah.
Flat out stinks.
And Ward, too. I mean, you know, I told you he looks like Brandon Stevens, you know, from when the Ravens corner, who was always in great position, but he couldn't find a ball.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of Ward. I've never seen a left fielder, you know, do so many spins and stuff. Like, whoa, balls. And you know what's funny, Nolan, is because you watch Judge do it, you know, like the catches he made against Ward, you know, he turns his body, goes up, and just he does it easy and naturally.
Right. And Judge isn't regarded as like a great defensive player. He's okay.
Got a great arm.
He knows what he's doing out there. I think it's one of those where he knows his limitations. And that was what was great about Mullins, right?
Yep.
As soon as he would dive for a ball, I knew he was catching it because he would never lay out and dive if he knew he couldn't get it. And that's it. And if he didn't catch it, it was certainly going to hit his glove at some point. He had such an instinct where he would always get off to the right jump. He would always know exactly when to take off, when to leap, when to let it drop in. Great instincts by him.
And the other thing I liked about Mon, he knew, all right, I know that I don't have a great arm. I got to get rid of it quick. Mm-hmm. And I got to be accurate.
Right.
Now, the guys they got out there, they're not accurate, number one, because, I mean, I'd run on them all day because has anybody even come close to throwing a guy out at the plate?
No.
You know, because the ball's either up the line or wherever. So, yeah, I mean, really, do you trust any of them's arms?
It's tough. It's a tough situation. Tough situation. 410-583-1057. When we come back, more of your phone calls on this Orioles win last night. Orioles outlook moving forward. Do have a chance to take the series tonight in game two. And again, at 11 a.m., we will be joined by A.J. Gersh of Fox 45. Switch up the conversation to go more Ravens related. That's coming your way next here on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
After destroying the Philadelphia 76ers last night, the New York Knicks, the first team in NBA playoff history to win three straight games by 25 points or more. And it feels like the ceiling of this team has been raised where not just winning the Eastern Conference is a possibility, but Knicks fans can now dream about winning an NBA championship. If the Knicks play with this level of intensity on offense and defense, the sky's the limit. I'm Nick Costos.
The Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Valor Roofing. Trust your home to Valor. You should see me in a
crowd. It's Woman Crush Wednesday here on Vinny and Haney. Nolan McGraw in for Bob Haney today. No worries, he'll be back tomorrow. Vinny Serrato here as usual. We've been talking to you about the Orioles in this opening hour. Much needed win last night. 9-7 your final. Orioles over the Marlins. Got a chance to take the series tonight when Brandon Young goes for redemption after an ugly, ugly start against the Astros last week. We'll see what he's got in the tank. But for now, try to squeeze a few more calls in here before we break and get A.J. Gersh, starting with Kevin in Ellicott City. Good morning, Kevin.
What's good, Vinny and Noel?
What's up, dude?
So for me, fellas, the way I watched the whole game, of course. And, the way we started the game offensively, I'm thinking, all right, this is the type lineup we need, right? This is the type lineup we need. Marlins rallied. We continued to stay on the offensive. I loved that last night about our baseball team. For me personally, I felt like that was one of our best games of the year. Just even though it wasn't perfect, it'd be hard for people to think offensively for most of the game we weren't going to win, right? But, like you mentioned, Vinny, we still got a couple areas like pitching wise and stuff to fix, but I actually felt like instinctually, fellas, that this really might be a game slash series that could really change the tide for us, man.
That's the hope. That's the hope, Kevin, for sure. I mean, I think I mentioned it earlier. We've said that about a dozen times this year. There's been so many of these moments where, all right, they're turning the page. This is it. This is the win that gets them going. And then they come back the next night and they get embarrassed. Could be the case tonight. You never know. Again, Brandon Young, kind of a mystery right now on the mound based on his entire career track record, which is very brief, but it's been more bad than good. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, like Bob keeps saying, I'm not going to bet money on the Orioles tonight. I need to see more to believe, I guess, is the better way to put it.
Well, they're 1-6 in the East. You know, I mean, they've got to beat teams in the East, and then they got the Yankees coming in soon again, you know, who they got demolished by. So, I mean, you got to beat the Tampas, you got to beat, you know, Boston, you got to beat, you know, the Yankees, you got to win some of the games. So until they do that, they're just an inconsistent mm-hmm. ball team, and that's the problem. And I just don't know how they can be consistent when they're so bad defensively, and they make a million mental errors.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, even with the great offense last night, I will disagree with Kevin's point a little bit. It wasn't like a feeling of comfort.
No.
Right? Seeing that lead get, you know, shrink inning after inning, and then, all right, they go back out there and they rally, put up another two spot or whatever, extend the lead, get you the breathing room, and then it's immediately erased. Like, knowing that you didn't have Ryan Helsley, knowing how dicey things have been, and just how you found more ways to lose than found ways to win as of late, I was tense going into those late innings. I don't know how you couldn't be.
Well, the other thing too, Nolan, is you know, like we were talking about the bullpen, you know, like one or two of them would be good in the bullpen, especially, you know, when your starter goes out, you know, and they got to pitch five innings. You know, prior to this, when we were talking how good the bullpen was, every bullpen person that came in did a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, three or four may come in, two are good, two are bad. That's been the issue. And you made the point off air where they got their guys back, the injured guys back, and they got worse.
They're healthier, yeah. That's the thing. They've got their,
Kittredge. Yeah. Kittredge has been killing them.
It's been him and Aiken. I know Aiken had a clean inning last night, but still, a brief influx of runs here in both of their returns. Sneak another call in. We got Joe in Woodbury. What's going on, Joe?
I just called to ask you guys, what is the bigger liability in any sport, offense or defense? I mean, some days you can't score, but if you can never defend, then you can't do anything, man. Now, listening to you talking, I remember when the Ravens first came here, we averaged 35 points a game, but we still lost 38-35.
Ask the Bengals. Ask Joe Burrow. Ask Joe Burrow.
Hey, listen, hey, if you can't defend in chess, checkers, any game, any competitive game you play, think about it. If you can't defend, you can't win. But if you can defend, you always got an opportunity to get that one or two or whatever you need to win the game, man. So for them to be so unfundamentally, oh, man, it's just, I laugh. I told you my word for them is laughable, because one thing I always knew about the Orioles growing up was they could defend. No matter if they only scored one run, two runs, three runs, they could defend. And when a pitcher throws the ball, if it can hit on the ground, they're going to gobble it up. But to see them, see a ground ball, you can't turn the double play and throwing the balls from the outfield, missing the cutoff man. Man, I remember seeing them throw balls from the outfield to the cutoff man and throwing people out at the plate. That's spectacular. Now, I got to get this in. My favorite movie, Major League. Now, that suicide squeeze with Wesley Snipes on second, and he took off running on the pitch, and the dude laid the bunt down. Man, that's the most heroic thing I've ever seen. And baseball don't do that no more. That's the most exciting part of baseball, man. Fielding, defense, and manufacturing runs. Home runs, I ain't worrying about no home runs. Man, it's called baseball. Get on base, steal a base, sacrifice a man over. That's how you play the game, man. They got away from it. And that's what we need to play since we're playing like the Bad News Bears. Y'all take it easy.
All right, Joe. Have a good one.
No, let me ask you this real quick. The year that they were real good, they won over 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
How many guys did they have win gold gloves or were nominated for gold gloves?
In 23? Well, if we had the caller yesterday that pointed out they've only had the one winner here in this recent era, and that was Ramon Arias.
Like you said, Cowser was nominated.
So, I don't know if they were all 23, but Cowser's been nominated. I think Santander was a finalist one time.
Yeah, third base.
But then
no, the third baseman was.
Yeah, Arias.
Yeah.
He won it, yeah. But then you have the other puzzling side of it is that Jorge Mateo actually played a ton of games. That might have been 2023 or 22, either way, where he played actually a pretty sure-handed shortstop, the spectacular and the routine play, didn't even get a nomination. Gunnar had, thought maybe last year would have been his best shot to get nominated.
Right.
Didn't happen. And then the most egregious, go back to Mullins.
You're right.
To never even get a nod.
Right.
Say, hey, we see what you're doing out there. You know, that's, and center field, like shortstop, those are the ones where the competition is the toughest on the defensive side of the thing when you look around the league. But even still, man, Mullins would be web gems galore out there at the wall, diving. Kind of miss him. Kind of miss him. You could hit 100 on this team, man. If you're going to play defense, we'll take you.
No doubt.
All right. 410-583-1057. We'll take more of your calls as the show continues. But coming up next, AJ Gersh, Fox 45, will join in on the fun here. We're going to change up the pace, ask him his thoughts on the Ravens. His rookie minicamp was this past weekend. We are a couple weeks post-draft. See how this depth chart is looking and what's next on the agenda.
This is the Fan, baby!
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.